Well, good morning. Welcome to Clay Fellowship Church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you all. It's good to be with those who are watching on Facebook. We are blessed to be able to gather together in His name and worship Him, and I am grateful for that opportunity to be with y'all. So this morning, I'm going to open our service reading the lyrics from the third verse of the song I mentioned last week. I didn't read this verse, and this is one that I really like, so I'm going to open our service reading it. To be honest, I'm changing everywhere the author wrote my, I'm changing to our, so it applies to all of us. But this is from, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, gracious Savior of our ruined lives, our guilt and cross laid on your shoulders, and in our place you suffered, bled, and died. You rose, the grave and death are conquered. You broke our bonds of sin and shame. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, may all our days bring glory to your name. May we bring glory to his name this morning as we worship him. Brother Fred, would you like to open us in prayer?
Yes. Bow your heads with me. Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord. We just love you and care for you and thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us. Lord, as we come to this place and as we join our hearts together to lift up the name of Jesus, be with us, Lord, this morning. Lord, fill our hearts with your joy and love and happiness, Lord, that only comes from you. Lord, we ask that everything we do this morning be for the honor and glory of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Lord, may your Holy Spirit come this morning. May he lay on us your precious, precious spirit of grace this morning again. Lord, charge us, Lord, this morning. Reinvigorate us this morning with your power to be your children, to be your mouthpieces to this world, to be the light to our community, Lord. Well, we thank you again for Jesus. Thank you, God, you loved us enough that you were willing to give your only Son to come to this world, to have to suffer all that he suffered for us, and then to give his life for our sins. Thank you, God. We can never repay you for that. Lord, now be with us. Lord, we just recognize you as the only true and living God. And we proclaim that to the world this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. Our first hymn this morning is one, I remember this song, but as we've had some discussions this morning, I think I'm the only one who does. So this may be new to most of us. you may have heard it before. It's from the 80s, so it's not that new. But Brother Fred is good. He's learned it in 2 weeks. He played it some last Sunday and then really finished it out this Sunday. He's so good at that. But I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. We're going to start our service this morning still focused on prayer and calling upon the Lord. So if you're willing and able, please stand with me. And after this, we're going to sing, If My People Will Pray.
I will call upon the Lord.
exalt the God of our salvation this morning, if you would. Give him a clap offering. So we all know Tuesday is an important day for our country. And I think we all here in this place know that our country's not going to be saved by a political party or by a man or woman or any of us here on this earth. Only God can make a difference. So we are, and as I was thinking through that, this lyric came to my mind, and it's from the Star Spangled Banner. Francis Scott Key wrote it. It's a verse that doesn't normally get sung, but praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. We praise God for our nation, and we trust God to either heal our nation or we see what happens next. But God is in control. So this morning, as we are preparing for the happenings this week on Tuesday, we're going to continue singing the song, If My People Will Pray. And after we've sung, Brother Fred is asking that we come gather around the altar to pray for our country, for us to seek God's face and call upon the Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer.
So thankful that we live in a country like this. But we're thankful that you have blessed us through the years. Lord, we came here for religious freedom. And Lord, we have always, always put you first. Lord, we come as your church, and we come as your nation, as your people here in the United States of America, praying for our country. Lord, we've drifted away like the Israelites did. We sought after foreign gods and other things, Lord, in our country and our lives of its people. But Lord, we pray that we can come back to you. We pray, Lord, that we can once again be your people and your voice to this world, saying we serve the one true God and we are one nation under God. Father, we pray for this election this year. Lord, we know that you can use anyone, and you do use anyone, Lord, for your will to be done. Lord, have your way. May your will be done in this election on Tuesday. And Lord, may we be your people in this place, Clay Fellowship Church, Lord. May we be bold, and may we speak the word in boldness. You are our rock, Lord, and you are our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Family, and then I love being able to greet each other and hug on each other and tell each other that we love them and that God loves them. Well, our announcements this week, Tuesday morning, our group for breakfast meet at 9:30 a.m. at the Jack's in Trustville on Different Parkway and Highway 11 intersection. This Wednesday night is going to be different. It's not our normal Wednesday night Bible study. We will have charge conference with presiding elder. Is that?
That's his title, yes. Yeah.
With our presiding elder, Barry Hallman, which most of us know Barry. He was our pastor here for a few years. So it'll be good to see Barry again. That will be Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. here in the Fellowship Hall. Next Wednesday, yes. Oh, okay. Okay.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Okay. All right. So, like always, we like to eat. So, after our charge conference, we will conclude over to the fellowship hall and have dessert and coffee and drinks and fellowship. Wonder where we got our name, Clay Fellowship. We do love each other and like to fellowship together. Praise God. Okay. So, Bible study, the book of Daniel, will resume next Wednesday, November the 13th, 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Sunday school is at 10 a.m. and worship service is at 11 here in the Worship Center. I forgot to mention last week that time change occurred this morning, but you all were here, so I think you got me.
I've been here 2 hours.
Coming up, okay, so Julia gave me some breaking news. The Epiphany that was to be held November 7th through the 10th had to be rescheduled, so she will let us know when that occurs. The prayer vigil in the back, we can just save that for when it's rescheduled, but also to be in prayer. I was thinking, we probably all don't know what Epiphany is, so at some point, Julia, we probably need to talk more about that. But Epiphany is a ministry for those living in youth homes because of misbehavior. But it's a time that they get treated with love, and they're shown, and they're taught about God. So, I know Julia's very passionate and Jenny's very passionate about the Epiphany ministry, and those who've been involved have seen God move and seen God work. So it is a way for us to reach out to people who need to know God's love. So be in prayer that everything gets worked out because the government got involved. So enough said about that. But that God is ordaining the next dates to be scheduled, and that he is preparing the way before. So Don't forget your prayer visual. You can still pray this weekend for this ministry, but it has been rescheduled, and Julia will give us more information when its dates are set. October's gone, Stacy. Sunday, November 10th is our Harvest Sunday for our Thanksgiving meals for our food pantry. Also is Veterans, we'll be celebrating Veterans Day. Richard Marsh from Three Hots in a Cot will be sharing with us about the work they're doing there at Three Hots in a Cot for our veterans. Coming up Friday night, November 15th, at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall will be game night. Operation Christmas Child. So Collection Day is November 24th. So we've still got a few more weeks to get boxes and to bring them back in. I almost had mine ready to bring, but I didn't. So next week we'll have a table set up for those who are bringing their boxes back. We are collecting our boxes, and then Cindy and I will be taking them to the collection center in Trustful for where they get sent to Samaritan's Purse. So you don't have to do that. You just bring them here, and we'll take care of that part. That Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child does ask that you donate $10 per box, and that covers shipping and also some evangelism materials that they give each child. You can donate online. You can also donate, and I meant to have these with this, the little flyers in the back have a prepaid envelope attached, so you can also mail your donation in. They're not saying that anymore, but I think it would work, but we used to stick it in the box. So I think that will still work, but everything I'm seeing now, they're asking that you mail it in the prepaid envelope. Prepaid postage envelope. But also, too, what's really neat, if you've never done this before, is the labels have a QR code, and you can scan that code, and you can register the box, and they will send you information about where that box ends up over the world. So that's pretty cool. I've done that a few years, and it's neat to see where the box actually goes. But of course, I have another video for us this morning. There are some places in here where they have subtitles, and I knew nobody would be able to read them, so I'm going to read them for you. And hopefully I'm going to butcher names, but God knows who they are.
When children open their boxes, you can hear the laughter, the cheer.
Each gift brings a joy to their heart.
Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." I want the children to know that Jesus Christ is alive, and he'll come into each and every heart that invites him.
The mission of Operation Christmas Child is to share the gospel with children around the world. Every shoebox gift is delivered with a verbal and written proclamation of the gospel in more than 100 countries every year. This is an evangelism project, and it all starts with a very simple shoebox gift.
Volunteers are really the heart of who we are and what we do.
When we pack the boxes, it's a reflection, a little glimpse of God's love that we're pouring out.
When you pack the box, pray. We never know how God is going to use that box. They go by plane, they go by riverboat, they go by motorbikes. These shoeboxes go to children in some of the most isolated areas of the world.
Your shoebox goes from you filling it full of toys to all ends of the earth to share the name of Jesus Christ.
These boxes gives us a chance to show them that there is a light, there is a truth.
After receiving shoebox gifts, children are invited to a 12-lesson discipleship program, The Greatest Journey.
The child is discipled, not only know God, but make God known to others.
They started to know the power of prayer. They want to know more.
From this, we are seeing lives transformed for the kingdom of God.
This is in Namibia. My name is Kavari Benahona. I have many challenges, being deaf. People attack me when I sleep. Yesterday, we learned about God and how we should love one another. When I received my shoebox, I felt God's love for me. Then I decided to follow Jesus. Now, this is in Honduras. I was 9 years old when I got my gift from the church. Only God could reach me, and I felt something powerful in my heart. I died to my sins some time ago, and I can't go back. I love sharing the Bible with my little brother, Jalilis. I tell people, and I tell my friends to seek God. Surname.
When I was 14 years old, I started teaching my first The Greatest Journey lesson. If I shared the gospel to them, I really, really hope that they share the gospel with everyone they know.
The heart of Operation Christmas Child is evangelism, discipleship, and multiplication. Because we bring gift to the children, the mothers and the fathers accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. In every church, we are teaching them how to reach out to their neighbors. Operation Christmas Child became the answer from God.
Children are taking the gospel to the ends of the earth.
And it's time for us to go where no one else went, so the gospel can cover this earth just the way the water covered the ocean.
Let's pray for the outreach to continue. It has to be our burden to reach them with the gospel.
Millions of children around the world are being impacted by these simple shoebox gifts. So we need to keep packing those boxes and continue to pray for the children around the world as we begin to disciple them. God bless you. Thank you.
It's hard to leave that video and then go to more announcements, but we will be having what is called the Hanging of the Greens. That sounds a little formal, but basically we'll be decorating the worship center for Advent, and that is going to occur on Saturday, November the 30th at 9:30 a.m. But also, too, if there's people who are interested and Saturday doesn't work, we could look at doing it on Friday if that works better. So just talk to me if you're interested in helping prepare our worship center and our hearts for Advent. We'd love to have more people involved. Harvest Sunday for the Christmas meals will be December 8th. Collection boxes in the back for the Love Lady Center hygiene items. Also, collection boxes in the back for our food pantry recipients for the food that we pass out every month. Upper rooms are on the back table for you to pick up and use as daily devotions. Our announcements and prayer list go out on Fridays but by email. If you're not getting these emails and would like to, just let me, Cindy, or email clayfellowshipchurch@gmail.com. And if you have anything to add or change in the prayer list, just let Cindy know that as well. Well, today is All Saints Sunday. All Saints is a recognized day, November 1st. So the day after Halloween, we recognize the saints. And for the church, we do that on the Sunday following Halloween. It's a day to set aside to remember, and for our church to remember those who have been a part of our church that we've lost since last All Saints Sunday. And so this year we have two members, and Cindy's going to come light candles in memory of Sue Mullins and David Clayton. So I was always thinking about All Saints and thinking about Sue and David. I just kept going, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all get to heaven. So that's why we're going to sing this next hymn, When We All Get to Heaven. It's hymn number 650 in the hymnal. The words will be on the screen. You're welcome to stand and join me. You're welcome to remain seated. But what a glorious day that will be. And what a thought it is we get to think about and to remember those that we've lost.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed will prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Sunday 2024. What makes a saint? Any ideas? I'll tell you, Jesus talked about saints, and he in Luke's Gospel chapter 6, if you'll turn there, we'll see some characteristics of saints. From his Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6, verse 27. We all there? Jesus says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is it that you to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend. Hope for nothing in reward, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Saints do these things. Let's pray. Father God, come to you today knowing that I am nothing without you. But God, with you everything is possible today. Lord, may the words of my mouth, may they be acceptable to you this day. God, you are my rock and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to begin with a little story today, my sermon. One day a man was walking through a beautiful old church building. He had his four-year-old son with him. And they, as they walked through that building, the little boy, he looked around. And he stopped and he was so curious about the stained glass windows. And we got them up here, don't we, from the old building. They look so beautiful with all their bright colors, you know. But as he looked at the windows, he asked his dad, "Who are all those people in the windows?" And the dad responded, "They're saints." And then, you know how kids have questions. He said, "What are saints, Dad?" The father found himself stuck a little bit. But he was about to explain who saints were to his son when the young boy shouted out, "I know, Dad, I know, Dad." "Okay, son, what are they?" "They're the people that light shines through." Wow, out of the mouths of babes, right? Remember the show on TV where kids say the darndest things? Well, even Jesus, you know, he liked children. He said, "Don't forbid them. Let them come to me." Children have a remarkable talent of seeing things that we as adults, we've forgotten years ago, haven't we? But this little boy, "Dad, saints are the people that light shines through." Today is a special day. We're here to worship God, yes, lift up the name of Jesus, but it's a special Sunday. We're also here to remember the saints that made it possible for you and me to be here, to be in this place, this wonderful place to come to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we're here today remembering those saints that meant so much to our Christian walk. Today I want for us to think about how you'd finish a sentence. Okay? Here's the sentence. A saint is. And you be thinking about how you finish that sentence today. Quite often, we think of saints in the same way as we think of angels, you know. At the very least, only the very well-known people from church history, St. Francis, more recently Mother Teresa. You know, they're saints, yes. But according to the Bible, a saint is simply a follower of Jesus Christ. Every one of you that sit here this morning, if you believe in Jesus, if you are born again, if you're saved like we preached on so many months ago, you're a saint. And sometimes that's hard for me to believe, you know. You become a saint by being born again through the power of the Holy Spirit, which can only happen to us through Jesus Christ. He's the saint maker. People described as saints in the Bible, they were still human, just like you and me. Mortals, we call them, you know, with all the warts and imperfections that we have. But here are some things that they were, okay? They were called holy. The Bible speaks of saints being holy. It also speaks of them being obedient to God. Another word is they were dedicated, both in terms of their attitude and the fact that they were set apart for God. But they were still just real people. And some of them far from being perfect. We see from Scripture that these people call saints. You look at their occupations, what they did. They were fishermen. Knew a lot of those, don't we? From the New Testament especially. Farmers. Tent makers. Luke was a doctor. Teachers. Carpenters. Former prostitutes. Some were extortionists. Some were outlaws. Some were outcasts, some were robbers, you name it. But they all were saints because they were forgiven. They were cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. But the Bible also tells us what they were not. They weren't infallible. They had their faults. And sometimes the saints disagree with each other. You've never known a church to disagree with each other, have you? They weren't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But folks, every one of us is on a journey, aren't we? All the way back to the time of Jesus, we're on a journey with Him. A journey of following Jesus. A journey of learning to how we're going to be more like Jesus. And that means we got to be what? More loving. That's what we read in the Scripture, right? Less judgmental. More accepting of others. Less condemning. You ever been around a person that all they did was find fault in people and things? I mean, even when you're watching television with them, they find fault with the television program, you know. Yeah. Well, it's a fact. Jesus was and is perfect. He didn't sin. Anybody here perfect? If you're perfect, would you raise your hand? Now, Diane has always accused me. Said, Fred, you're a legend in your own mind. But I realize I'm not perfect. So I assume that Jesus is and still is the only perfect human being to ever live. Therefore, he was the perfect sacrifice. Paul, in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, that famous chapter, he says, "Now we see our reflection in a mirror." And King James says, "dimly see." But then we're going to be face to face. "Now I know just in partiality. But someday I'm going to be completely known." Wow. I don't know if I want to be completely known. You know? But it's a scary thought when you realize God knows everything about our past, that is. But you know, Peter made mistakes. He made some real bad ones, you know. Even John, the person that Jesus said loved, made mistakes. His own brother, James, messed up. I think it's just a part of being human. But they learned from their mistakes as they lived their lives. They learned by allowing Christ to forgive them of those mistakes, to forgive them their sins, and by accepting Jesus' forgiveness. But then they didn't stop there. They moved on in Christ, in love. Just think about it. How radically we're called. Now, that's got to be a bad word, but I like it still. How radically we are called to be a follower of Christ. We're called to be like Him, to live our lives like Jesus lived His. We read this morning, "Love your enemies." Sometimes difficult, right? "Do good to those who hate you." I got a granddaughter who's being bullied at a private Christian school. And I keep telling her, "Just love them, honey. Just love them. Pray for those who mistreat you." Jesus even said, "If somebody slaps you on one cheek, turn the other one." Somebody takes your coat, go ahead and give him your shirt too. And this surprised me. Jesus said, "Give to everyone that asks. And don't demand things back." And then the part of that scripture that's taken, you know, the golden rule today, "Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you." Jesus had his take on that. Treat people the same way that you want to be treated. We're called to lend, expect nothing back. We're called to be kind and grateful. We're taught to be compassionate. We're taught to not judge. Now, I want everyone that meets all of these criteria to raise your hand right now. No, stand to your feet. I thought Miss Martha might stand. No one lives this every day, do they? But we're still called what? Saints. By God, He calls us saints. All the words in both Greek and Hebrew that are translated saints, they're the same. Sacred, holy, pure, blameless, dedicated. All those are the words they give as synonyms for saint. Now, that holy part doesn't mean perfect, does it? That holy in God's Word means to be set apart. We're different. We're set apart to serve God. Folks, the only way we're ever going to be pure and blameless is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And because He died on that cross 2,000 years ago, our sins can be forgiven. And our sins have been washed away. They were dedicated. Dedicated. They were obedient. A saint may fall down, but that saint gets back up. And me remember the commercial that used to come on advertising the Medic Alert bracelet or Medic Alert chain. And the little old lady said, "I've fallen and I can't get up." Well, saints fall, but they get up. Why? Because of Jesus. Because He lives in us. Saints may fall into sin, folks. Saints can lose their temper. Saints can even hurt others by the words we say. But you see, a saint is going to ask forgiveness for that. A saint is going to accept the forgiveness that comes through knowing Jesus Christ. A saint is going to ask God for strength to not sin again. Big difference. Saints get back up. That's what it means to be dedicated. A dedicated follower of Jesus may not always love our enemies, but that will be a goal for us. We try to. We work at it. And we try to be loving and forgiving of others. You see, when a saint finds they cannot, on their own power, love an enemy, then that's when we ask God to love them through us. When they find it difficult to pray for those who mistreat them, they ask the Holy Spirit to pray for us. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. If a dedicated follower of Jesus finds it nearly impossible to not judge other people, God helps us to admit our own faults. You know, talking about that speck in the other person's eye when you got a log in your own. Saints, pray to God to help love other people. Love the unlovely. No matter what that person has done, love them through God. We're called to turn the other cheek. Give him your shirt too. We're called to pray. Called to pray for other people. It's difficult. That's the reason I like that word radical. Because this is a radical way of living, a radical lifestyle that we're called to. And folks, we're not going to always get it completely right. We're going to fail. But saints get back up. If you ever begin to think you're getting it right, let me tell you, you're already getting it wrong. If you think you've arrived, folks, you haven't. Even the Word says, for all who exalt themselves, you're going to be humbled. Jesus said, the first is going to be last. In the Old Testament, we're told that pride cometh before a fall. Oh, look at me, how good I am. Now, being a saint, does that sound impossible? Being a perfect saint, does that sound impossible? I'm going to let you in on my little secret today. Are you listening? It is. It's impossible. Down in verse 20, I like what it says here. Backing up from verse 27, over on the other side of the page. Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Wow. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. I like that. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cast you, your name is evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy. I read this to my little granddaughter when she was being bullied so much. For indeed, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Folks, we're blessed beyond any imagination. Don't you just love those words? Don't those words just lift your spirit? Happy are the poor. Happy are the hungry. Happy are those that weep. But now, verse 24 takes on a different slant. Listen to me as I read it. What sorrow awaits you who are rich, for you have your happiness now. Verse 25. What sorrow awaits you who are fat and prosperous now, for a time of awful hunger awaits you. What sorrow awaits you who laugh now, for your laughing will turn to mourning and sorrow. Verse 26 says, what sorrow awaits you who are praised by the crowds, for their ancestors also praised false prophets. But how terrible for you who are rich, because you already received your comfort. How terrible for you who have plenty now because you will be hungry. What are we to make of these kinds of words? Jesus, He turns things upside down, don't He? I love that about Him. Could it be part that comes down to financial security, a full stomach, may be bad things for us because they can be deceptive. They can give you a false sense of security. But we got to remember, those things are only temporary. And they're not evidences of God's favor. Prosperity can actually get in your way of our relationship with God and too with other people. It can steal your love. It can put that relationship in jeopardy. Self-sufficiency, when we have everything, it traps us into thinking that's our God. Someone said that those who lay up your treasures here on earth, you cannot lay up God's treasures in heaven. You're blessed, you're happy when you rely solely on the mercy and love of God. True happiness comes when you rely on Him. When you love Christ more than you love other things. Back to my first sentence. Have you finished it yet? A saint is. I read someone this week and they said a saint is someone whose life makes it easier to believe in God. A saint is someone whose life makes it easier to believe in God. All of us have known saints, haven't we, in our lives? People who, if it not been for, we probably wouldn't be here this morning. You were probably given your first glimpse of Jesus through a saint. Some of you were fortunate that it was your mother and father. But it could have been a neighbor. One of mine was a school teacher or a friend. My grandpa. Maybe for some of you it was a pastor or a member of a church you attended. Whoever it was, there's just something about them, right? Something that separated them from the rest of the crowd. Something special about them that got your attention. And it caused you to want to have that something that they had. They were always people who went the second mile, weren't they? They were people that we knew we could count on no matter what the situation. They were people who made us feel loved by them and loved by God. And they were people who helped us find a glimpse of the divine. Folks, those people you're thinking about right now are saints. Saints of God. Like the little boy said, they're people who the light shines through. Who this morning are those saints that have touched your life with the incredible love of Christ? Some of you may have those that are still living, but others have gone on to be with the Lord. And I'm going to give us all a chance to remember those this morning. In a few minutes, we're going to light our candles, and we're going to have a prayer, and then we'll have our closing song in memory of those saints who loved and cared for us. That little boy, he's got it right. Us as saints today, we need to let our light shine. We need to let God's light shine through us. We're called today to be saints. You should have a candle there. I'm going to ask you all to stand with me in memory of those who you're thinking about right now. This morning I remember my grandpa. He's another rock, Stacy, of mine. I remember my fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Weaver, taught me about the Lord. I remember my mentor, George Jackson, who was patient with me in those early days. want to go over here and light a candle. And we're going to share our light with each other. That's kind of symbolic today. We're going to let our light shine with each other. I want everybody to close their eyes. Let's all together call out those names this morning. Ms. Weaver, Lynn Davison, George Jackson. Thank you, God, for those saints. Father, we remember those who meant the most to us in our Christian walk, who told us about Jesus, who without them we wouldn't be here. God, thank you for the saints of old. Thank you, Lord, for those who gave their very lives for the cause of Christ. May we be bold enough today to do the same. God, let your light shine through us as your saints. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to close our service this morning singing Sweet By and By.
Such a pleasure to be with you. I feel such love and such compassion for each other. What I want to do to close this service today, I want you to find three people and tell them you love them, and then you can go out the back door. Okay? God bless. God bless this week.